The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
I want to welcome all of our podcast audience, our YouTube audience, and of course, our Facebook Live audience. Today, we're going to be dealing with an interesting topic today. We're going to be talking about why eventually all nations of the world will eventually come against the nation of Israel, and who is the players of the prophetic end time battle of Gog and Magog. That's what we're going to talk about on today's topic. So let's get after this thing right now. Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 through 35 is going to be our opening context of scripture. Matthew 24, 32 through 35. Now, when in speaking of the end times, Jesus was speaking to the disciples regarding the signs of the coming of the Son of Man, what would be the signs of the end of the age, and what things would have to transpire before the coming of the Lord. In this chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 32 through 35, he says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know this summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, there's a couple of phrases here that has left a lot of people baffled and perplexed for generations. And that is, who was Jesus referring to when he mentioned the fig tree, and who was the generation that he was referring to that would not pass away? And thirdly, what did he mean by all these things take place? So let's get after these three things first, and then we'll move on. The fig tree here, I believe, without, if we went into great detail on this, guys, it would literally take up the entire broadcast on this. But I believe with all my heart, after studying this for over 21 years now, I believe the fig tree here is referring to the nation of Israel. In Psalm 102, 16 through 18, it says, "For the Lord shall build up Zion, and he shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. For this shall be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." At the time that this was written in Psalm, Psalms 102, 16 to 18, Zion had not been built up. And we're going to do some Hebrew. I'm going to pull out some Hebrew words here and some Greek words to build a better picture of what we're talking about here. The word Zion here is referring to Israel or Jerusalem. He says the word build up here actually means to restore or reconcile, or where we get the word restitution. And he says this shall be written for the generation to come. In Hebrew, this is Acharon, and it means the generation that witnesses Israel and Jerusalem being built up or restored in their lifetime will be the generation that will witness the appearing of the Lord in his glory. Hallelujah. The Apostle Peter referred to this in the New Testament in the book of Acts, chapter 3. He says, this is Acts 3, 19 through 21. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive." Now, the King James says withholdeth. The New King James says receive. And the actual Greek word here means to restrain. So heaven is restraining Christ. Now listen to this, until the times of restitution. Somebody say restitution. "Of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began." The Greek word here for restitution is a long word. It is apoktasios, which alludes to the restoring of something to its former condition. One of the greatest examples of this is if you're like me, I like cars. I like older cars, older car models. And I love seeing someone who has a hobby of taking, they'll go out and buy an old car that needs some body work and needs some work done, and they'll restore it. They'll take something that was old and restore it to its original state. So that's kind of the picture here. Peter speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 3, he says that heaven is withholding Jesus until the fulfillment of all things that have been spoken of by the prophets of old. And he says that the restitution or the reconciliation, the restoring of all things. Now, major Bible scholars will tell you that Peter here is referring to the nation of Israel. So in other words, one of the reasons why Jesus has not returned, he has not split the eastern sky, and he has not come back as of yet. One of the reasons is because there is prophetic events that has been foretold by Isaiah, by Jeremiah, by Zechariah, by Amos, by Haggai, and the list goes on of prophets alluding to the nation of Israel and speaking prophetically of things that has to be fulfilled. There's things that has to happen to the nation of Israel. Listen, here's the exciting part. And the generation who is alive to begin to see these things restoring to the nation of or Israel being restored to its original state is the generation that has the potential to see, according to Psalms 102, 16 and 18, to see the Lord appear in his glory. For this again shall be written for the generation to come. Again, it was not then when that was written, but I believe with all my heart that we, if you're watching this and you're listening to this broadcast today, we, our parents and our grandparents, and I absolutely believe all the way back, and it started in 1948. From 1948 on, any generation that was alive then and is still alive now has a great potential to see the return of the Lord in our lifetime. According to Barnes commentary, on Acts 3:2, the word is used to denote the return of the Jews from the captivity of Babylon and the restoration to their former state. The word has also has the connotation of consummation, competition, or filling up. The Jews were taken from their land and twice returned. Restored back to their homeland once was 70 years after Babylonian captivity, and the second time was again in 1948 when Israel was restored as a nation and was prophesied by Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 11:11. According to W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, he says there is three possible meanings to the word restitution here in Acts 3. And he says to set back in order, balancing accounts and restoring property to its rightful owner. Wow. And number three, a consummation of the world's cyclical periods. Again, restitution, restoration. That's what he's talking about here. Now, again, 1948, Israel was restored as a nation. 1967, they won an impossible odds against them war, a six-day war, again, when Jerusalem was reinstated as the capital of the nation of Israel. Now, I want to read to you, I'm going to skip over some stuff here. I want to read one more thing. This is from, again, from some commentaries that I pulled up here. The restitution versus restoration. Two Greek words for times. The Greek word for times of refreshing is kairos, which means a set opportunity. But the Greek word for times of restitution in chronos is a space of time or a season. So there's kairos and chronos. There are periods of times or seasons when the restitution of prophetic things will begin. The Old Testament prophets foretold of certain key events that would come to pass, accelerating this into the seasons of restoration, which will climax in the return of the Messiah. If you listen to my last broadcast, I talked about one of the markers of this is the luminaries that God created in the heavens, the sun, moon, and stars. They were not just created for great lights to separate the day and night, but the Bible says they were set and they were appointed by God himself for times and seasons, or appointed feasts and seasons to mark these things. So those who are discerning among us will know and they will see these things happening and they will understand. Come on, somebody. Where's my sons of Issachar at today on the broadcast? The times and seasons in which we are in. All right. Now, I want to skip over here. Why is Israel the fig tree mentioned in Matthew 24? The fig tree is, listen to this. This is what's interesting. The fig tree, and speaking in the natural sense, is among the last to get its leaves in the spring. So when it begins to bud, you will know that summer is truly near. Think about what Jesus said in Matthew 24. We must remember that when Jesus was speaking in this passage, it was to a predominantly Jewish audience, and he was letting them know that when the people of Israel see all the end time signs that was mentioned and recorded by Luke, by Matthew, and by Mark, Luke 21, Mark 24, Mark 13, he says that you will know that his return is truly near. That was the lesson of the fig tree. It's a comparison. It was mentioned in a parable. It was mentioned figurative, and it was mentioned literal. Again, it was to a predominantly Jewish audience, not a Gentile audience. Thus, that's why this remains to this day to many Western interpreters of the Bible as an enigma or a mystery, because they want to remove everything Jewish from the Bible. Oh, don't get me. I can really plow right here and make some people mad, but we want to remove all Hebrew roots from the Bible. We want to remove the Jewish from the, we want to remove the Jewish Jesus from the Bible. We want to remove the feast. We want to remove, we want to remove the Sabbaths. We want to remove everything that's Jewish or Hebrew from the Bible. And we want to paint this Western Christianity that we hear preached most about here in America. And that's why do you think so many people are sitting in the congregation and in the churches, and they're biblically and historically and culturally ignorant of the times and seasons in which we're in, because they're not being taught this behind the pulpits of America. All right, so again, throughout recorded history, nations have been described by types and figures. Go to the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar saw all these certain elements. He saw a head of gold, and he saw the arms and silver, the arms and the breastplate of silver. He saw the waist of gold. He saw the legs of iron. They were represented as this. And then Daniel begins to interpret. He says the Babylonian Empire represented this. He talked about the lion. He talked about the eagle. He talked about different the leopard. He used these illustrations or these examples to identify these. So listen to this. Even Russia is known as the bear. America, our emblem is an eagle. England is represented by the lion. And Israel, again, can be identified as, again, sticking to eschatology in time, Matthew 24, the fig tree. Jesus, in essence, was saying, when you begin to see Israel being restored to its original state and begin to fulfill what the prophets spoke of, you'll know that you are the generation that will see the coming of the Son of Man. Come on, I know some of y'all wanted encouragement today, and you wanted an edifying message today, and you wanted a message you can hoot and shout and holler over, because some of y'all don't like Bible prophecy. But I'm telling you, if you get this, and the fact that you're alive and breathing and listening to this and living in the times that you're in, and these things are coming to pass, come on, I don't know. This may not do anything for you, but this makes me excited. This makes me want to hoot and holler and shout and say praise the Lord, because we truly are the generation. Now I'm going to give you real quick, I'm not going to read all these, I'm going to give you the events, and then I'm going to give you the passage where you can find them. So here's the question: is Israel being restored? Is Israel fulfilling the restitution that the Apostle Peter spoke of in Acts chapter 3? That's the question. Let me just answer it. Isaiah, Zechariah, and Hosea all said that Israel would be restored as a nation, prophetically speaking. And you know what? It happened on May 14, 15, 1948. That can be found in Isaiah 66, 7, and 8, Zechariah 3, 9, and Hosea 3, 4, and 5. According to Isaiah chapter 35 and Isaiah chapter 27, the prophet said that Israel in the last days would begin to blossom and be fruitful again. I'm going to tell you, that's happening. It's been happening. Isaiah also prophesied that water would break forth in the desert and produce irrigation. That is happening. The word of the Lord says in Psalm 102:16 that Jerusalem would be in Jewish hands and they would expand its borders in the time of the end. That's happened, and it's happening. Isaiah and Jeremiah both said in Isaiah 43, 5 and 6 and Jeremiah 16, 14 and 16 that Jews from Gentile nations outside of Palestine would return back to Israel. In fact, they said the Exodus that returned back to Israel and come out of all the nations of the world would be greater than the Exodus that came out of Egypt. And my friends, this has been ongoing. It's been happening. We've been reporting about it for over 10 years. The prophet Hosea, Joel, and Amos all said that early and latter rains would fall simultaneously and together in the last days and would be major prophetic signs. My friends, this has happened numerable times. Again, here's the seventh thing. Isaiah said the walls of Jerusalem would be rebuilt by strangers and the gates open continually. Friends, again, according to, and this was Isaiah 61 and 11, that was fulfilled. All these things, guys, are happening to the nation of Israel. So listen, I don't have to convince you anymore after this whether or not you and I are the generation that is the last of the last of the generation. Now, and I know we got into this this whole discussion the other night about what is a biblical generation. And this has been something that's been debated by scholars for as long as I can remember. Is it 40 years? Is it 70 years? Is it 80 years? Is it 120 years? Well, do the math, guys. If we go, if we're going by 1948 or 67, we've already seen a generation. 40 years, 70 years, 80 years. So this is why there's a lot of prophetic chatter about the year 2028 for this reason, because we keep surpassing these marks. And again, remember, and here's another thing I want to point out, we're not on the Gregorian calendar, which is our calendar. We're on the Hebrew calendar. The Jewish New Year begins not January 1st, but it begins in September. Rosh Hashanah. It begins in September. So we're already, we've been in the new year on the Jewish calendar since September on the Hebraic calendar. In fact, just a few more months, if you can believe that, 4 more months from now, we'll be going into the next year, 2022, on the Jewish calendar. So I want to shift gears here. Okay, so all right, praise God. We're potentially, and it looks to be like we are the generation that is going to see all these things come to pass. So what are we to look out for? What's next? What should we be expecting? Let's talk about that right now. Let's shift gears, talk about this on the midsection of this of today's broadcast. The first section of this, if you missed this, come back, listen to the beginning of this. We talked about how we are the generation, I believe, that is seeing Jerusalem being built up, and we are the generation. If you were alive in 1948, from then on, you have the potential to be here, to be alive at the coming of the Son of Man. Now we're going to go into the middle of this broadcast today. We're going to shift gears, and I'm going to talk about something that has to happen, and I believe it's accelerating, and it's going to happen very soon, and that is, get ready for it. You're going to begin to see all nations of the world begin to turn their back on the nation of Israel. Why is this going to happen? Because prophetically speaking, it's got to happen in order to fulfill more prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled in our lifetime. Let me give you some scripture on that. Zechariah 12, 2 and 3. We brought this up last week. The prophet Zechariah said that Jerusalem in the last days would become a cup of drunkenness to all nations. And that Jerusalem would be a heavy stone for all people who would attempt to heave it away. And he says that all nations of the earth will gather against it to destroy Israel. But the prophet warned they will be broken in pieces by God himself. Then in Ezekiel chapter 36, I'm going to read this. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said of you, aha, the ancient heights. And the King James says the ancient high places have become our possession. What is the ancient high places? It's what they've all been fighting over. It's the Golan Heights. It's the West Bank area. It's those key areas. Isn't it interesting that the prophet Ezekiel said they will say, aha, the ancient high places have become our possession. And therefore prophesy. And the Lord speaks through Ezekiel. And he says, thus says the Lord God, because they made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side. Did you hear that? The nations will come and they will try to swallow Israel up from all sides. And by the way, Russia's included in that. Turkey's included in that. Syria, Lebanon, Iraq. We're gonna talk about that in a second. So that you have become the possession of the rest of the nations. Again, what am I talking about? Israel will become the focal point of the entire world, and the world will turn against Israel. Guys, it's happening. Not just in the Middle East. Look at right here in America. Turn on your news. Look what's happening. Listen, I have to be very cautious of what I say because I don't want our broadcast to be cut and I want it to remain. So I'm not going to get into some of these things, but we did share these on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. There's massive protests breaking out in cities across America. And I'm telling you, Israel is becoming the cup of drunkenness that the prophet Zechariah said would happen. Listen to this. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Ezekiel says that you will be swallowed up on every side. You'll become the possession of the rest of the nations, and you are taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by the people. In other words, Israel will be on the conversation of the nations. It will be the hot topic on news media, the United Nations, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. And it will not be positive either. The prophet Joel in Joel chapter 3, listen to this, quote, I will gather all nations and I will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom, listen to this, they have scattered among the nations. They have divided my land. Here's something else you're going to watch for this. Prophetically speaking, watch for pressure to come to divide the nation of Israel. Barack Obama tried this. President Clinton tried this. President Bush tried this. Trump was the only president that I know of and aware of that did not try to divide the nation of Israel. Now, it's yet to be seen what the Biden administration is going to do, where they're going to stand. But eventually, somebody say eventually, not only will America be involved, but nations of the world will collaborate together to divide the nation of Israel. And that will bring swift judgment according to the book of Joel and the book of Zechariah. It says they will enter into judgment because they've divided Jerusalem. They've divided Israel. All right. So let's recap, because we're getting ready to go to the latter part of our segment today. First part, we talked about, we proved to you today, I believe that we are the generation that will see all these things come to pass and why Israel's the fig tree. Second part, I just showed you that prophetically speaking, all the nations of the world will eventually turn against Israel. It has to happen prophetically. Now, let's close this segment and talk about who are the players of Ezekiel 38, 39. This is the Gog Magog war. And let me just throw this out there too. The book of Psalm chapter 83 speaks of this same thing. And I believe, and I know there's some people will disagree with me on this, but I believe prophetically speaking, Psalm 83 will take place before Ezekiel 38, 39. And the reason why I say this, if you go to Psalm 83, it mentions the players involved in that, and they conform a confederacy to come against the nation of Israel. And one of those nations there is the nation of Syria. Okay. But according to Isaiah 17, Damascus will be destroyed. It will become a ruinous heap. And it's interesting to me to note this, that when you get to Ezekiel 38, 39, which is this major prophetic war that not only do evangelicals or those who believe in the Bible believe, but even Arabs and Muslims believe, and they preach and teach on the war of Gog and Magog. Did you know that? They believe this in this great war. In that war of Ezekiel 38, 39, you know who's missing from that? Syria. Now, why in the world would Syria be missing from Gog and Magog? Again, this is totally speculation, but it could be very possible that in this Psalm 83 war, that this is where Syria is hit. This is where Damascus becomes a ruinous heap. So it knocks them out. It knocks them out of being one of the major players of Ezekiel 38, 39. So let's get into Ezekiel 38. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tabal, and prophesy against him and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tabal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen. Now, there's two things here that, again, scholars have debated on. Number one, it says, I will put a hook in your jaw and turn you around, implying here that something has to happen for all these nations to already come down to against Israel. And then, so watch this. So that's why I believe that's the Psalm 83 war. They come, they try to invade Israel. But all Hades breaks loose. The United Nations gets involved. They demand a peace treaty. They demand peace. And this is where the walls come up. This is what Israel enters into, a false sense of peace. They begin to, or I'm sorry, I said the walls come up. I meant the walls go down. Israel begins to reside in a false sense of security and peace where they lower their guard. They lower their walls. And then, watch this, and then later, the Bible says, in the latter days, I will turn you around by putting a hook into your jaws. And the Lord says, I will pull you back down. So then they come back down. I'm going to read all this in a second. And this time Israel is dwelling in a false sense of security. The walls are down. They believe they're in a false sense of security. Let me read this. I'll put hooks in your jaws, lead you out with all your army, horses, horsemen, splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields and all them handling swords. Persia, that's Iran, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them. All of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah from the far north and it's all its troops. Many people are with you. So who are, let me get to this. Who are these people? Magog seems to be, again, there, some of these nations could differ based on who you listen to. So again, this is all, we try to go as much as we can to that time in history and pull it to modern history or modern today nations. Magog appears to be modern day Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and Afghanistan. Persia appears to be, obviously that's Iran. Kush is Sudan. Put is Libya. And Meshach, Tubal, and Gomer, and Beth and Togarmah is Turkey. So let me, so let's talk about this. We got, and then again, these other nations I named is the southern Soviet nations of Russia. So you've got Russia, Afghanistan, Iran, Sudan, Libya, and Turkey. These are these nations that are involved. So here's what's interesting. Who's missing from this war? Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, which, by the way, is ancient Babylon. Very interesting. And you know who else is mentioned or missing? America. Now, some people try to make it fit, but I'm telling you, I don't see, or I'm sorry, Rosh is Russia. Let me correct myself. I couldn't even read my own notes here. Rosh is Russia. Magog, Afghanistan, Persia, Iran, Kush, Sudan, and Put, Libya, and Meshach, Tubal, and Gomer is Turkey. So again, there's your nations. Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq, which I find very interesting, is makes up the ancient Babylonian Empire. They're not mentioned in this war, and America is not mentioned. But let me read on. Prepare yourself and be ready. This is Ezekiel 38. You and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. Oh, by the way, Turkey, today we reported on this, Turkey is calling, the leaders of Turkey are calling for Arab nations to unite against Israel. Turkey, major player in Gog Magog. Russia is warning Israel to de-escalate tensions in the Middle East. Biden has come out and warning to de-escalate tensions in the Middle East. So again, you see these players involved. And I'm going to read this. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. Here it is. After many days, you will be visited. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword. That goes back to the beginning of the broadcast. Israel has been brought back from the sword. Scholars believe that is the book of Ezekiel, where it talks about the dry bones or the dead bones rising again. The dry bones, Ezekiel talks about that. They come back from the Holocaust. They come back from what looks like completely wiped out. And it says they will be brought back from the sword. And the word sword is war. Anywhere you see sword in the Bible, it represents war. I will bring you down. You will come in the latter years, who? These nations. To a land, that's Israel, to those who brought back from the sword and, listen to this, gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel. which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Well, guys, this cannot be now, because Israel is not dwelling safely. Hello? But there's coming a false sense of security. Listen, you will ascend. The you here is, again, this confederacy of nations, Ezekiel 38:39. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, and all your troops and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan, and you will say, quote, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Again, I'm telling you, there's well-known Bible prophecy teachers that say that's now, but that's not now. Israel is not dwelling without walls and in safety. If that was the case, we wouldn't be talking about what we're talking about today. But again, this is a future event. Now listen to this, and I'm almost done, guys. The Lord says here by Ezekiel, Ezekiel's inspired of the Lord. He says, the nations will come with the agenda to take plunder, to stretch out their hand against the waste places that are again inhabited. Wow. And against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods. Again, this all is speaking of the prophecies fulfilled by Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all them. Here's what's interesting. Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Now, there's a great debate on who the Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish and all their young lions are. I believe that it's speaking here of Saudi Arabia and Great Britain. Saudi Arabia and Great Britain will say, when they see this start happening, listen to this, quote, they will say, have you come to take spoils or plunder? Have you gathered your army to take plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? That's what they're... Notice they don't get involved, but they stand afar off and they're watching. I've got some real good talking points as soon as I get done with this scripture. We're going to talk about this and then we're going to close. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you know it? Will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, and you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. So something has completely eliminated modern warfare. Why are they not in tanks? Why are they not in jeeps and trucks and equipment and using modern weapons? This is a great debate as well. He says, you will come against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I have spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? So I want to close here by saying, I want to leave you with something here to really think about. So again, if you want to know where we're going, something eventually, guys, something has got to happen in order to put pressure on the nations of the world and the United Nations and all those that will be involved. Something will put the pressure on them to force Israel into collaborating into a false sense of security, in which, as a result of that, they will lower their guard. They will let down their walls of safety. I believe with all my heart. This will fulfill 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And the Apostle Paul spoke of this to the church of Thessalonica by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, concerning the times and seasons. Wow. Brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, they, the nations of the world, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So something is going to push Israel into a false peace treaty of safety, letting their guard down. And when this happens and the world begins to cry out peace and safety, the Apostle Paul said, sudden destruction will follow and it will be imminent. And I believe with all my heart, he is speaking prophetically of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, the war of Gog and Magog. So what does this mean? So does this mean what we're about to see unfold is the prophetic war of Psalm 83, which is the Confederate nations, Confederacy of nations, of Arab nations that will collaborate together, come against the nation of Israel. And this conflict will become regional. It will spread out outside of Israel, and it will pull in Turkey. It will pull in Libya. It will pull in Syria. It will pull in these other nations, and it will get so bad that this could be what initiates and pushes the peace treaty, the false sense of peace. And again, remember, I believe Great Britain, Saudi Arabia, when you get to Ezekiel 38, 39, they're sitting back and watching these nations come and invade Israel. Here's the question I want to ask you too. Why are they invading Israel? What will Israel have that these nations want so bad that they're willing to go to war over? Is it oil? Will there be massive famines of biblical proportions? And they're not able to get crops, they're not able to get food. Will there be water shortages? Will it be all the above that will be the hook in the jaw that will push these nations to come and to conspire in their mind to come and invade Israel? Here's another question. Where is America? Why isn't America involved? And so, oh, well, America's the lion with the wings. I don't believe that. Listen, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you, I don't believe America is directly involved. Now you say, well, where is America? It is possible, and I'm going to leave you with this. It is possible that America is mentioned in Ezekiel 39 during this war of Gog and Magog. The prophet said, I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. Now, I have the personal phone number of a major Bible prophecy teacher in America and internationally. And I straight up asked him one day, I said, who are those living in security in the coastlands? And I said, is it possible that is alluding to America? And he didn't blink an eye. And he said, it is very possible that is alluding to America. Now, here's something else that's going to freak people out. This could actually fulfill the book of Revelation, where it says that mystery Babylon shall be destroyed in 1 hour's time. Are you saying America could be mystery Babylon? Yes, America could be mystery Babylon. And I have been, listen, I know people's been after me and they said, when are you going to do a teaching on mystery Babylon? Because I talked about how America could fulfill mystery Babylon. Listen, guys, I didn't do that because I didn't have all my resources and stuff. But now that we've moved and now we're in our final place of where we're moving. I've got all these resources. I'm going to put it together and we're going to do that teaching on that. So listen, we're living in perilous days. I'm just telling what Paul said, perilous times, but we're living in exciting times as well. I'm going to say that again. We're living in perilous times, but we're living in exciting times. I always leave you, and this is one of our mottos, and it's Luke 21:28. When you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Guys, I want to pray for you real quick, and then we're going to close this segment. Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice today, watching or listening to this broadcast today. Lord, if there's anybody that's watching or listening today, they're not right with God, they're away from God, they're backslid, they've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray right now that you would invade their hearts. You would go right into that office, right into that home, right into that vehicle, wherever they're listening today, via by podcast, YouTube, or by Facebook, or however they may watch this. I pray that they make themselves right with you. They don't delay putting off today what needs to be done today, but they make themselves ready, for you are ready. Come on. Even now, you said, Lord, even now, that Lord God, the summer is near. It's drawing near. This thing is closing. It's coming to a close. Things are accelerating. Things are advancing. And Lord, we want to be on the right side of this battle. We want to be on the side of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I pray this today, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Guys, again, we want to give you an opportunity to continue to keep up with our ministry so that you can be informed of what we're doing and where to catch us and all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Go to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to see our main website. That's where you're going to find it. Please go and subscribe to it. Catch all of our, again, you'll get one email inbox, one email digest in your inbox every day. One email is going to have all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our app. If you're not downloaded our app, please be sure to get that today. As soon as we close this broadcast, go to the app store on Apple, go to it on Google Play, download the free app. You can type in End Time Headlines, download that app, get it into your hands, sign up for push notifications, get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You'll be notified of when we share those headlines, when we're informing you. If you look at the bottom of the app, you're going to see there's a place right there where it says listen and watch. That's going to be our podcast, our YouTube channels on there. Everything's going to be on there for your convenience. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. Listen, if this ministry is a continual weekly source of revelation, information, blessing to you, encouragement, it keeps you up with the times and seasons which we're in. If you call this your home church, whatever the case may be, whatever your relationship is with this ministry and how it's been a blessing to you, we want to encourage you to partner with us. You can become a monthly partner by two ways. You can give electronically via the app. If you download the app, you can do that. Or you can go to the main website and give electronically there, or you can do it old school, which is by check or money order. And you could do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. And that is Monroe, Georgia 30655. So again, as always, guys, don't forget, if you're watching this by YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the little bell so you'll get push notifications when we go live or when we upload our latest video. If you're watching by Facebook Live, don't forget to tag people in this, share the link to them, invite them to this, like our Facebook page. If you're listening to my podcast, get the word out. We are on Spotify and we are on Apple as well. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off for today. We'll be back on here on Friday with either another prophetic viewpoint, depending on what's going on in the world, or an encouraging message for you to close out the week with. So God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.